walked a long way, a long time. Dance so many fires, dance so many fires. Songs are within the land, singing country strong, singing country strong.
Singing country song from the Tasmanian Indigenous musician Jodie Haynes. Well, the artist Lila Greeno is a Tasmanian Aboriginal woman who works in the traditional art of shell stringing. Using knowledge passed down from her mother and her grandmother, she creates these delicate necklaces from shells that she collects from the beaches of Tasmania. In 2014, Lola became the first Indigenous artist to receive the National Living Treasure Master of Australian Craft Award. And now an exhibition of her works is touring the country. Eloise Fuss is speaking to Lola Greeno, surrounded by boxes of tiny seashells at the artist's home.
I use a variety of shells and patterns. I've sort of moved sideways a little bit in using some other cultural materials that I wanted to relate to the food line, what that we used to get food from. So the Warana shells, the abalone shells. My mum used to eat the meat from the porcupines. So, and there's some abalone shells, which has been collected and eaten for a long time as from the food line.
For someone that doesn't know what shell stringing's all about, how do you explain what it is and the cultural traditions behind it?
Well, I suppose what's really important for us, but the significant part of the cultural practice is that our earlier women, like Truganini, made shell necklaces and she wore them several strands around her neck. But in her times, they only strung what we call the mariner shell, which is a little bluey, greeny, pearly iridescent shell. Once it's been cleaned, it shows its iridescent colours, you know, once it's on display. And so that's the beginning of it. And then, of course, once sewing needles came into place after colonisation, the women were able to thread much smaller shells. So these little, lovely little orangey coloured, what my mother's generation called them rice shells.
They're about 5 millimetres long, aren't they? And yes. They're quite thin, about a millimetre wide, and just these like little orange sticks.
Yes, absolutely. And I only usually work on them in the day now because they're so tiny and you feel like your fingers feel like pincushions after you've done one necklace from them.
And what is shell stringing?
Well, shell stringing to us is a Tasmanian Aboriginal women's cultural practice. And so, but you've got to know what you're looking for. Like when we have to go back to the island now, and when I say islands, back to the Furneaux Islands like Flinders or Cape Barron to collect these because it's just too hard to find in the north of the state where we live. And then we'll come home and we'll go to other beaches to find some dry shells like down near the lighthouse to get these black shells. And we'll go down the east coast to get some white shells. You need to know what shells to pick up. They need to be strong. If you try and squash them between your thumb and your fingernail and they break, it means that they're not going to be strong enough to thread. So, and we look for the best quality shells now, especially when these necklaces go into an exhibition. The long length that I've got here is almost 2 metres before it's tied.
Where does this cultural practice come from?
Traditionally, our earlier women, like Truganini, Fanny Cochran Smith, made and there's, you know, if you look in the history books, there's still photos of them wearing their necklaces with these wearing these mariner shells. And the longer they were and the more strands they wore, it meant they were such leading women in their community. And the Furneaux Island women have continued that right through all the generations. And it's such an important part of our history that, you know, we want to continue that today so it gets handed on to my daughter and my granddaughters because, you know, I think in future that the environment's going to affect how much of this is going to be able to happen in the future. Mm. I really do.
And so do you know whether Tasmania is the only place that shell stringing was practised?
In this form, I believe. As I said, I've looked a little bit into South Australia and I haven't found any evidence that Indigenous women made shell necklaces there or Victoria. I do know that shell necklaces are made, you know, in Northern Territory. They get these little black shells in Northern Territory, but they're bigger and they eat the fish out of them. So, which was a lovely story. I believe men made some in Tasmania as well, but they used the bigger shells and they threaded them on like a different fibre, like it might have been hair, and twined it, and they knotted it between each shell. So that's quite interesting.
How did you come to be working in this traditional way?
Well, I can remember as a young child growing up on Cape Barron, where the elders used to come to our house and we'd walk along the beach with my mother and these elders on a Sunday and pick up shells, but we had to give them to our mother or the elder women that were with us. I didn't really start being serious about this, putting any cultural value on it, until I moved to Tasmania, and then my mum was already living here by then. And I said, you know, this is such a significant part of our history, we should do something about it. And I'm pleased I did. I started working with my mum making shells, and that's when I learnt some of the things that she could tell me about the old times on Cape Barron Island, and how she cleaned the shells and dedicated. I think I was fortunate that I worked with my mother while she was alive, and we did this together. We sat down and we collected shells and sorted them out, and we had conversations about shell necklace making. And I think it's hard to go back. If you miss that very important time of having a conversation with your elder about learning a cultural practice, you can't go back in time.
So obviously to make these, you have to collect thousands of shells. How do you go about doing that?
It does look, and you have to collect like today. You know, you can't go and collect a whole lot at one time because, you know, for us to just get like a quarter of a sandwich bag today. So I have little containers like on the table there.
So when you know what piece you're going to make next, do you know what beach you can go to in Tasmania to get the type of shell you need?
Yes, we have special beaches now. We go I go near the lighthouse to get the black shells. I go down the east coast to get the little white, another little white shell, not that white shell. They come off Flinders Island. But there's another little white creamy shell called the penguin shell, another bird name. So I'd go to St. Helens to get some of those and match up with some of the little black shells. You know, when I first started off, I really didn't know what I was doing, what I was going to start with. I do remember starting with a pattern similar to this, but putting the green mariners in there instead of the blue ones. And that was almost the Lola Greeno pattern, was the white, the green and the black. And then there was some local criticism that my shells were too big and they weren't small and dainty and all of this, but they became so popular. And so Lola had to keep going with it, whatever she had. People love all of them today.
So how many shells, about how many shells would be in one necklace, one of these long ones?
I think, now this one, it was interesting. I had my grandchildren home a couple of weeks ago and they came collecting with us, and I said, I'll give you some pocket money for whoever gets the most shells, which was good fun, really. And I think two of them didn't take me seriously. One of them did, and he collected 230 of these little orange shells, and I think most of those went into this necklace, and that's not counting the mariner shell. So there's probably 500 shells in that long necklace. I have made up my own pattern that's meant to reference the Cape Barron goose. So it's got grey shells in it, which are the older ladies, elders called gull shells. And I've got, that represents the feathers, and the orange oat shells represents its feet. It's got black on its bill, white under its wings, so it's got white cockles in it, and it's got penguin shells as well. In it. So all the colours of the Cape Barron goose, and everybody was amazed by that. And actually Aboriginal Education now is turning this into a text and a how to count for Aboriginal children in language.
It must be such a laborious process doing this, but do you have a way that you enjoy it?
You know, I think that it's therapeutical. So like going to the beach where it makes you think about the old women. Because when my mother first sold her first necklaces, they were sold to a Christian church minister, because in those days they didn't get family allowance for children. And so she used that money to feed and clothe us kids. It's totally part of my soul. I think to re-energise myself, I have to go to the beach every so often, and we'll get in the water and we could be there from 1 hour to 3 hours each day. So until the tide comes in too far and you've got to get out of the water because they're too deep and too far to reach.
Do you plan to continue on practising this ancient craft?
Oh, absolutely, as long as I can. And every time my grandchildren come home, we go to the beach and we sit and do some making. And we realised that in conversation in recent years that this craft had been lost in some families. And I put the word out there to people when I was working for Arts Tasmania and said, you know, we should teach this back into families and across families and down through families so that this significant women's culture continues forever. And there's so much to learn about it. There's still the science side for some of our young people probably coming through in the future to study through their university courses, you know, to study the science side of the shells. It hasn't been really touched on as yet.
You've committed so many hours to shell stringing. Why is it so special for you to do this and continue doing this?
I think it's in respect of my grandmothers and my mother, really. I think that's what's in my heart, is every time I do this, I think about when my mother and I first started working together on shell necklaces. And I know she would want this to continue, and she would be so proud that the granddaughters already can make bracelets and they've already made short necklaces. And I know that's the message that I want to continue through our young family generations. It's what's in my heart has got to continue.
The artist Lola Greeno, she's really got life worked out, hasn't she, Lola? I think we could all learn a lot from Lola. She was speaking there to Eloise Fuss, and that solo exhibition of hers, of Lola's exhibition, is called Cultural Jewels, and it's on show at Bunbury Regional Gallery in Western Australia from October, and that's part of a big tour all around the country. It's going to go for a couple of years of Lola's work, and you'll find a link for more info on the Books and Arts website. This is Books and Arts. I'm Michael Cathcart, where today we're digging into the arts of nature.